The two most recent offers are very similar. They are, the sentence is S239082, and the house, I'm sorry, the house is S239082, and the sentence is SCS239011. So I'll be focusing on those two proposed amendments to the bill. They are delete everything amendments. And the pages and lines are virtually identical, so you can look at either one and follow along as I'm going through it. On lines 130 and 131, both sides included the language that was discussed last time dealing with human resource and payroll administration. On lines beginning lines 1.33 through 2.2 have been changed since the past meeting, and they are, on those lines, they are identical, except in line 1.35, the Senate version has reasonably necessary, and the House just has necessary. So that's one of the two differences between these current offers. One significant difference since the past meeting, and this is in both bills, is on lines 2.1 to 2.2. There's a sentence saying the release of a Social Security number for the purpose of marketing is not a legitimate business purpose under this clause. Then going down to lines 2.10 to 2.11, they're identical in both offers, and both sides have added the words, the House has added the words, or contractors, which was in the Senate bill. And moving down lines, beginning in lines 2.21, there's a clause 2 there in both bills, and those clauses are more or less new since the last time the conferees met, and they are identical except in line 2.22, the Senate version reads specifically. The Senate version reads specifically authorized or allowed by a state or federal law, and the House version does not have the word or allowed, so it just refers to specifically authorized by a state or federal law. And so that's the those are the two most recent offers, and as I say, they have those two differences between.
Ms. Pontius, do you have anything to add?
Or
Madam Chair? Members, Senator Shai.
Yes, Madam Chair. Can somebody refresh my memory about when this was first introduced, and is that person here who participated in that?
What?
This law, this 325E.59.
Senator Bentzel. Madam Chair and Senator Shai, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. I believe the original impetus came, I think, out of the Attorney General's office, and Senator Steve Kelly carried the bill to the Senate. Work on it, and I think Representative Holberg may have worked on something similar in the House, but I was more focused on what was happening in the Senate. And he took about 2 years to work on it. Ultimately, the Senate rolled his proposal into a data practices bill, and we had a delayed effective date of about 2 years, just to make sure that the thing was going to go. I think it started in 03, but I didn't think we actually passed it, I believe, until 05. Okay. Yeah. And so, and then it was actually supposed to go into effect July 1st, of 07, but then last year at the Data Practice Conference Committee, when we were trying to deal with the, trying to identify, you know, figure out what language we should use, we were staring at the issue of the credit reports not being issued to Minnesota because they read the language about selling. And I had suggested we just extend the deadline out one more year to July 1 of 08. And that's where it currently sits right now. So the law is finally ready to go into effect on July 1st of 08, whether or not we pass anything here.
So, Madam Chair, and I didn't mean to go over old ground. I was hoping that one of the persons who participated in it would be here because I'm interested in just, I want to make it as brief as possible, a little discussion of Subdivision 3, which is Section 2. Because I've read it a lot of times, and a number of times, and I'm, but why did they have this in here? And as I look at it, it's like Subdivision 3 is a postscript. By the way, if state or federal law requires you to have a social security number, then this law isn't preventing it. I don't see how that's a problem to anybody because if you're required to have it, and I understand that federal law sometimes is silent about it or it regulates how you deal with a social security number or other data, but it doesn't necessarily say you may do it or you should do it or you must. But there are some cases where I think federal law would require a social security number for 1099s and W-2s and for child support, etc. There's a list of things that where state or federal law would require a social security number. That Subdivision 3 isn't there to negate whatever you do in Subdivision 1. So if you're allowed to do it in Subdivision 1, and I think some people are really concerned about Subdivision 3, and I don't see why it can't stand as it is without amendment, because I don't think it's I think it's just, like I said, a postscript to Subdivision 1, and I'd be real curious to hear what Representative Simon has to say.
If I could ask a question, Senator Simon. So are you saying as it stands in current law?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm thinking that it probably would be fine. Because I don't think it negates activities of people who are operating under, say, Gramm-Leach-Bliley or HIPAA or whatever. I don't think it interferes with that, whether or not they authorize it or require it. They have those laws regulate what you do with it if you have it. But that's not what this is speaking to. We're talking about Subdivision 1 is the meat of, you know, the issue that came up because of certain entities concerned about being able to use that Social Security number and transfer it, you know, back and forth. So.
Senator
Bessel. Mr. Chair, you should have the Senate bill as it passed the Senate, the second engrossment, in your packet. When this law was passed, and again, like what it currently says, this is ready to go into effect, it would be Section 3 does not prevent the collection use of the Social Security number as required by state or federal law. And the word required is what, you know, is currently on the books. As we were preparing this bill, there's very few places where a social security number is actually required, obviously for your tax. But typically, it's authorized in many places. So we felt the term authorized, we said another language that we passed in the Senate was authorized or permitted by state or federal law. And as you may recall when we last met, the term permitted seemed a little bit too ambiguous, and there's some concerns about that. So we just kept the word authorized, you know, in the first part, and instead of using permitted, then we tried to make a run at it with lines 2.21 to 2.24 to expand, because, you know, it really wasn't saying what permitted really meant. And I think that President Holberg agreed, you know, at the last meeting. So we tried to flesh it out what permitted really meant, rather than use it.
Okay.
If I could
find, and then we have.
Yes, I know. I'm dying to hear it. Yeah. So jot down so you don't forget, Simon. At least that's what I have to do. You're too young to have to do that.
Younger than
that. Yes, just have to do that. I may have forgotten what I was going to say already. No, if up in Subdivision 1, we take care of the concerns of credit reporting agencies, banks, insurance companies, people who contract out for their payroll to be done, et cetera. If we accomplish all that they can do up there, does anybody here really think that Subdivision 3, therefore, wouldn't allow them to do that? Do you think it has anything to do with what we've said in Subdivision 1? I don't. I think it says, by the way, if what you're doing is required by the state or federal law, you're okay, you can do it. Just, but it doesn't say you can't go back up to Subdivision 1 and do what we've just said you can do. I mean, that's why it would have been helpful if somebody, you know, but I would like to hear.
Representative Kohlberg was first.
Oh, Madam Chair, I didn't raise my hand.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This business of the words authorized, including both of the words authorized and the words allowed, on 2.22 of the Senate version, is interesting. And last night, actually, during one of the breaks on the House floor, I had a chance to speak with Mr. Apitz about that. And he explained to me at least the rationale for that, that being that in at least a couple places in federal law, I can't remember whether it was the Fair Credit Reporting Act or somewhere else, those are the words used. I think the word allowed is one that is used. I believe that was the case instead of permitted. My question would be, assuming that's the case, and I don't have the materials that I took a look at with him in front of me, I'm wondering if staff or anyone else could enlighten us. On line 2.22 of the Senate version, does the word specifically modify both authorized and allowed, or would we have to put in specifically authorized or specifically allowed? The reason I say that is Senator Scheid brought up a very, very important point, that some things are allowed by silence, and some things are explicitly allowed, as in mentioned, as in listed. And I wouldn't want the case where we would allow silence to govern. I would want it to be specifically allowed, my personal view would be. And so I want to know, as a matter of drafting, whether specifically modifies both the words authorized and allowed, or for purposes of clarity, we should put in the word specifically again, if just hypothetically, if we were to take this language.
And Representative Simon, actually, I think Senator Todd was asking if we should delete the whole section. Subdivision 3 is not needed at all.
Madam Chair, and Representative Simon and others, what I'm saying is I don't think that Subdivision 3 has to do with Subdivision 1. I don't think that we can tell you you may include this in a larger transaction if it's necessary to identify the individual, and you're not using it for marketing, you're using it for a legitimate business purpose. End of story. You go down to Subdivision 3, I think that was just to say, in a clarifying way, at least my interpretation is, if state, forget Subdivision 1, if state and federal law require it, you can do it. But that if you start mixing Subdivision 3 with Subdivision 1, I think that's where we go down a very difficult path. I don't think it has to do with Graham Leach Wiley. I think it has to do with law that requires a Social Security number. Graham Leach Wiley tells you how you deal with data on individuals. It doesn't say you have to have a Social Security number to do this business. But for the IRS purposes and child support and other kinds of things, you do need it. You need that Social Security number as part of the service that you're providing. I don't think you would put in language in Subdivision 3 that would confuse Subdivision 1. I think it was just for clarifying that where it's required, it's okay to use it to sell it or transfer it or whatever, but that the concerns of all the entities and stakeholders who met, I think, can be met in Subdivision 1. If you go down there to authorized and permitted, then I think you start, then you do start fuzzying up what we've said in Subdivision 1. I don't think anybody, I don't think we want to do that, but I just was trying to see if anybody else saw it the way I do. I don't think anybody else has seen it that way. I read it so many times, that's what it came to.
Actually, Senator Side, I actually came to you and asked you why you thought we had some business we talked about it on the floor yesterday.
And, sure, and that's why I read it over and over and over again, so I could tell you why we had it.
All right, Senator Bedso.
And I mean, we've got two issues. One that
yes.
was the Simon raised, and one is Senator Schreiber's. Again, you know, when the whole discussion on limiting the use of Social Security numbers was being discussed for quite a long period of time. I think we recognize that there certainly are situations where either state or federal law simply requires that there has to be some use of Social Security numbers. And we have no idea what the whole universe of those are, but we did not want to have this somehow supersede those other laws. I mean, maybe on a case-by-case basis, if we can find them, we can probably do that. So I think this was sort of a safeguard to put in there. And again, frankly, the only reason why we even visited that section in the Senate bill was because when we got to the word required, it just seemed to us initially that, very few, as I said, very few pieces actually required. So we thought, well, usually, if you read where Social Security numbers are, it's authorized. You're required to put them on your tax return. But in most other cases, the law might authorize the use of the Social Security number, and then they only had permitted to, but that was too vague. So, if we were to just delete Section 2 from the bill, then the current law is going to be required. And I don't know whether that's really the right term or not. So, but that's something. As to Representative Simon's point, I don't know whether this sort of specifically is even needed or not. I mean, what's the difference between specifically authorized and authorized? I don't know if there is, but maybe somebody here may have the answer to that.
Representative Simon?
I was just going to say, maybe not as to authorized. Authorization, to me, has a different ring to it. I'm very impressed, by the way, that Senator Schreider actually has Black's Law Dictionary with her here. That speaks to that. Really.
It does speak to allow and permit.
I just think that as to the word allowed, what gives me pause is that, as Senator Schreider ably illustrated, that can mean allowance through silence, or it can mean allowance by listing. By listing items. And I think Mr. Abbott showed me yesterday that in federal law, I think it was the word allowed is used in one of the statutes, and there is a list of items that is allowed. That's the wording of the statute. I believe it was allowed. So my only concern would be by not using a modifier like specifically or explicitly, that we're allowing for the situation, which I personally wouldn't want, where silence would mean it's in, and I want silence to mean it's out.
Senator Side.
Yes, Madam Chair. My question maybe should be phrased, is Subdivision 3 supposed to work in tandem with Subdivision 1? I understand it shouldn't work in opposition to it, but I don't think it has to do with it. I think it's that one thing out there where somebody said, sometimes federal law or state law might require the Social Security number. We better say that it's okay in that situation where it's required. But otherwise, we would be amending Subdivision 1 to list those things, because I think you could give somebody, a credit reporting agency, permission up here to transfer the or sell the Social Security number as part of the larger transaction, etc. You're not going down here then in Subdivision 3 and saying, it's not required by federal law, so you can't do it. This is just in case it's required by federal law, you can do it. My question is, the Subdivision 3 supposed to work in tandem with Subdivision 1? I don't think so. But
Senator Batchelor?
Madam Chair, I think it does, because, again, I think if anybody down the road after this law goes into effect comes into a situation where somebody for some legitimate purposes requiring a Social Security number, and they can point to some statute that says, say a state statute that says this, it's required to have it there. But then they look at this law, and if this law passed after the previous one, then I think the construction would be you have to assume the legislature knew about the previous law and we intended to limit the use of Social Security numbers. And it's actually the opposite. I think if we were already allowing it in some other case, we should, you know, this is not, this new provision, or on the book, perhaps on the site, are not intended to interfere with something that's already currently on the books.
Okay.
So that's why you have to have this in here. So it does work in hand. I mean, there's a thing. These are the rules, but if we've got anything out there that does require it, you know, just fall back on that.
Senator Sykes, what if we had said, you may only use a Social Security number, you may only collect, use, or release a Social Security number if it's required by federal, state or federal law. That's how we would have said that, I think, Senator Betzel, but we didn't. We said, by the way, this doesn't prevent it in case it's required. But you, if state law allows you these other things, I don't think it has anything to do with coordinating with itself. You know, I mean, that's absurd. It isn't. It further modifies, it further tells you when you may use it, but it doesn't negate what you say in Subdivision 1, I don't think.
Senator Pearson.
As we were talking about whether we use specific or leave that blank, I'm thinking that instead of the word required, you could say as specified. I mean, we could use specified as the replacement for required, but I'm not sure that what that does to, you know, and leaving authorized or permitted out. So it could take place of any of those phrases or compilation of them.
Members, I'd actually like to hear from the people in the audience about three issues. First is whether or not they think in Subdivision 7, necessary versus reasonably necessary. Second, whether they think we need Subdivision 3 at all and why. And if we have to have Subdivision 3, why specifically authorized or allowed, and make the case for why we need those phrases if it has to stay. Because, again, I went to Senator Side and asked her why we needed to have it, and I tended to agree with her. So please come to the table, state your name for the record, and let's go ahead. Go ahead, state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is John Appice. I'm with the law firm of Messler and Kramer, and I represent an entity called Consumer Data Information Association, which is a nationwide entity providing consumer reports, credit reports, etc.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Christine Almeida, representing ChoicePoint, and before we get too far down the path, let me just say that over the last few weeks, a number of us have spent a huge amount of time with all of you, and just want to say I know we're all tired and sick of this issue, but appreciate your willingness to keep talking about it and to continue to meet with us. I spent over the last couple of days a couple of hours with Senator Side looking at the Glass Law and trying to figure out permitted versus authorized and a bunch of other things, so just want to say thanks for that.
Okay, so you want to make your arguments on what you need?
Yes, sure. Happy to. Why don't we, do I go in order of how?
Be great.
Consider ways amount set with reasonably versus reasonably necessary versus necessary.
Sure, if I could just speak to that.
Mr. Appice.
Yeah, here. The term reasonably necessary as opposed to simply necessary, in as used here, I think there's some lawyers here that are going to help us with this as well. But the term reasonably necessary allowed some latitude in determining whether or not the use of that particular data is appropriate to accomplish a legitimate business purpose. And the short of the story is, when the folks who are going to read this and interpret it and apply it, folks back to the credit reporting bureaus, etc., and provide this information, read this, they're going to have to figure out kind of what you want. And lawyers, by their nature, need to be, or at least they assume to be, fairly conservative. So what they're going to do is take a look at the term necessary, and they're going to say necessary in the absolute. Is it absolutely necessary for a particular legitimate business purpose?
Senator Side. Madam Chair, if I may just, I don't think necessary modifies to accomplish a legitimate business purpose. It's necessary to identify.
Necessary to identify.
Okay,
Mr. Abbott.
I appreciate that. Necessary to identify the individual. Let me just kind of tell you how this works when the data is collected and how it's distributed. What we're trying to do is identify an individual, trying to make sure that we know that that person is who they say they are, so that when a loan is applied for and you're looking at a credit report, you know that that's the credit report on John Appis that's been requested and not and me, as opposed to John Appis, who might be located someplace else. The systems that are used are not discriminatory. They don't discriminate between data and individuals. They give a credit report. If you, Madam Chair, went to the Credit Bureau and asked for a credit report, and I went to the Credit Reporting Bureau, they would give us that same report, even though you may be much easier to identify and have much more assurance about who you are than perhaps about me. Regardless, it's sort of an objective standard that's used. And let's say, in your instance, it may be necessary to know that John Abbott is X number of years old, that's his birthday, he's lived in a particular location, because I move around a lot, that there are other sorts of characteristics about me which help identify me, as opposed to, in your instance, the chairman who has been in Brooklyn Park for all her life, located in a particular location. And it's clearly that's who you are. In either instance, that same information about each of us, although it may not be necessary in your instance, and necessary in my instance, is provided. And you could say, you don't need that information about you to be able to identify who you are. And we would be concerned that someone would challenge our use of certain information, some social security number in this instance, to identify who you are. That would be the conservative legal sort of interpretation. And essentially, the reasonable piece of this offers some latitude to be able to provide that same data on two different people who could be identified in a easier with requiring more information. That was thoroughly unclear now that I think about what I just said. In short,
I'm clear. Senator Holberg, or Representative Holberg.
If I might, I think maybe the reasonably necessary or not, we always talk about the Bob Johnson factor when we talk about databases and stuff. And so I think maybe you shouldn't have used your name, but rather a Bob Johnson. One of the very few sure indicators is to figure out which Bob Johnson it is, and that there's probably well over 1,000 of them in the state, is the Social Security number. In any one community, you could have dozens of Bob Johnsons.
Senator
Stein.
They could have been born on the same day. I mean, I think there's at least three Bob Johnsons that work here at the Capitol, in one capacity or another. So,
the term is important. The term is important so that it offers some latitude to be able to deal with all those circumstances and all those instances and not be challenged to say, no, you shouldn't use it there and you reasonably could use it there. Because what's reasonably necessary to identify the person, the conditioner is to identify the person. So is that reasonable? Reasonable person standard would suggest in one instance, of course it is, and in the other, and if you only had necessary, in another situation, it may not be necessary at all.
Well, as many of you know, I have just been finishing up my first year in law school, and I just took a tort exam, and we debated reasonably necessary, actually the reasonably prudent person for an entire semester. And so my concern was reasonable. I of course, have been the one that have wanted to keep reasonably out because I think it makes it much more vague, and you get to this balancing test then. Does the burden of doing it or being more careful or taking extra precautions, is that less than the probability of something bad happening and the significance of how bad it's going to be, and you have to balance it. And so, that was just on my church exam Wednesday, I just might add. Anyways, and so it makes it very, very difficult to actually then prove that the burden was much greater. It makes it easier to prove that the burden was too high and that the likelihood of the harm and the significance of the harm were bad. And so by putting that in, it's going to make it much more difficult for somebody who believes that it was used inappropriately to have a case or to have an argument that it was improper. And so that's the reason I had the issue with Braden Blaine. And so that's why we're here listening to you. So if you want to continue, go ahead. Senator Seid.
Well, Madam Chair, then I'd ask, why would the Social Security number be in that package then, in that larger transaction? Because all we're saying is you can't, if you don't need it, why would you send it on to somebody? If you didn't need it to identify that person, why would you transmit it, therefore?
Mr. Abbott.
Pardon me, Madam Chair, Senator Scheid, because it's part of the information that's just provided. It doesn't discriminate. The system, the way it works, doesn't discriminate. It provides you a set of data. Let's say you're a bank, and this is the data you use to make a decision about each loan application, the federal report that comes through on that loan application. That is all the same. It doesn't discriminate. Social Security number is necessary.
Regardless of what they're asking for, you produce a report that has everything that you have on the person and send it to them.
Unless for some reason it is constructed for needing other data, whatever it might be, but essentially that's correct. Here, and that's what's expected. There's an understanding within commerce that if I request a consumer report or a credit report with these characteristics will be provided. That's what the banks anticipate, that's what's provided, and that's how it works.
Mr. Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if anyone knows in this room whether either standard, necessary or reasonably necessary, gets us to a but-for standard. In other words, but for the Social Security number, we wouldn't know which Bob Johnson. We couldn't tell one Bob Johnson from the other. So I'm trying to get at the idea that necessary means without it, you're lost. It could be any one of the thousand. For example, let's say in a given pool of people, you collected from each of them a Social Security number, a thumbprint, and a recent photograph. In that example, to my mind, I would say, well, that is not either necessary or reasonably necessary to the transaction because you've got a thumbprint and you've got a recent photograph. So you don't need, reasonably or otherwise, the Social Security number. I guess I'll go back to the original thing. Does anyone here believe that either of these, or maybe neither of those, gets you to a but-for standard? But for the Social Security number, it could be any one of 5,000 Bob Johnsons.
Mr. Appert?
I think the answer is, but for that Social Security number, you won't know that it's that particular person. I mean, it doesn't work with, we don't have the biometrics yet. That sort of thing. And that would be the other sort of individual identifier. You're absolutely correct, Madam Chair. Representative Simon, that would be the sort of thing that is particular to a first Social Security number, the thumbprint, probably not the picture because I got kids. I mean, I got twins. And fortunately, they're not identical, so I can tell them apart. But the point is, the only thing that would probably otherwise, if they were identical, tell them apart would be that thumbprint, which isn't used, or that Social Security number, which is.
Representative Holbert.
Well, I think the other part of it is the vendor that puts together this, for lack of a better term, product, has no ability to predict when you would need a Social Security number. Case in point, last name Diskin. Doesn't sound like a very common name, but if you go out to the Jordan area and all these big Catholic families with, you know, 8-10 kids and cousins and uncles, and you would need probably a Social Security number to sort out some relatives in that particular area. It's not the Bob Johnson factor, but the credit reporting bureaus don't have any ability to anticipate or predict the degree of specificity that it would be needed in a report in order to ascertain a true identity. So I think what they're saying is that they have to have continuity in what they put out because they're not able to predict how quote-unquote necessary the Social Security will become to the purpose of identification. And that's what I'm hearing.
You're correct. I'm sure. Excuse me.
Mr. Abbott.
Exactly right.
Okay. Senator Scheid.
Hey, Madam Chair, I think the person buying the product, in other words, the profiler, the report, is the one who, no, you've got the right person. I think you're going to need the Social Security number, not only for you to get the information, but for them to know you gave them the right information about the right person. I mean, so I don't know where it wouldn't be necessary. In that kind of, when you're producing that kind of a product, if you will.
Senator Pearson.
I have a question on a different topic, excuse me, but on in the document, let's see, this is the Senate file, that would be line 221, and on the other document is point 29. Why do we have in there the phrase, not including a government entity? Why should the government have any other operation than what everybody else goes by?
Senator Pariseau, the reason is because when I first introduced this bill, there were already 52 lobbyists in the room, and I didn't think if I added government, we'd fit into a room, so I only wanted to take down one.
But why should the government not hold, be held to the same things and things that we have in that CERGA? I mean, if the government clubs up after everybody else, you know, all the private enterprises do the right thing and the government clubs up, then we've got a lawsuit on our hands, possibly.
Ms. Pontius.
Madam Chair and Senator Pariseau, the main reason that government entities are not included is that there's not a law that covers them. Like under our data practices that Social Security numbers are private. I think federal law actually includes a lot of restrictions on the government. It doesn't include restrictions on private sector, so that's why this bill focuses on the private sector.
Thank you for making it clear. Because I've been looking at that thinking, wait a minute. Government's a lot bigger than an individual.
Further questions from members? Mr. Appis, anything else?
If I could just continue conversation, Madam Chair, a conversation I had with Senator Scheid just a little bit earlier. I think it's dawning on me that what we were talking about is the structure of law. Let me back up a second. Subdivision 3 is entitled Coordination with Other Law. It coordinates with this statute,
259,
there, with the realization that there's other law out there that exists and needs to be coordinated as well. And there are various things the government does. It requires certain things. It allows certain things. And where certain things are required, there is also permission that's granted to do things within them. So I think what you're thinking of, Madam Chair, Representative Senator Scheid, is the type of situation where the government requires, I think this is your situation, where the government requires you to put your Social Security number on your tax form so they know that that's you. That is one thing that's done. The other piece of this law is that there are various entities, credit reporting bureaus, etc., that are allowed to provide personal, non-public, an agreement with private, non-public personal information, EPI, which includes a Social Security number, and which then has certain exceptions to that, certain things that business entity is allowed to do, and that federal law doesn't restrict those types of things. So there's a requirement that there's a government requirement that you provide a Social Security number. And then there's a situation where the government allows this business activity to be conducted, it's regulated, and certain things are provided and other things are permitted.
Senator Stein.
Senator Chair, and I understand,
okay.
Mr. Jefferson, we've been talking about that. I'm just suggesting that when this law was drafted, well, or when we are working with Subdivision 1 now, let's not even talk about the original intent. We know they wanted to restrict the use of Social Security numbers and the transfer of them, et cetera. And we realized that there were some problems with it as it was drawn. We needed to make some exceptions. So that's what we've been working on for these 2 years and two sessions, and we've come up, we're mighty close. I don't think if you change, if we authorize allow certain activities in Subdivision 1, I don't think for a minute anybody would argue that Subdivision 3 then would undo it, because it doesn't happen to be required by federal law. I think they just did this bill and they said, you know what? What if state or federal law requires a Social Security number? We don't want to put all these conditions on it. If it's required, they got to do it. It didn't speak to the regulatory framework. I don't think it's speaking to Graham Leach Wiley.
because that doesn't require social security numbers. It tells you how you deal with the social security numbers once you have them, but it doesn't require you to get them. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think you can operate under subdivision one, but I don't want to hold us up on that. I just will say that I think we are going to, that we're going to make subdivision three more complicated than it needs to be by this, but you know, I mean, I can live with it if other people can, and I agree that specifically either needs to, it does modify both authorized or not necessarily or allowed. I mean, I think it only modifies authorized, but you could argue that it modifies allowed as well, and maybe it does, but it's ambiguous, so we should clarify whether or not we want that to be specifically in front of both words.
Senator,
or whether we want both words.
Senator Craig, one of my concerns is that I think that 3 does make it a little more complicated to understand whether or not we are intentionally lessening what we're doing in subdivision 7, and that someone certainly could argue that in a legal case, and then a judge would be looking at this saying, gee, did they or did they really mean to modify 7 here? And a judge could, legitimately, a reasonable judge could say, no, they didn't intend to do this, and so we are going to interpret that if it isn't expressly permitted, it's not allowed. So I think that that it could be interpreted that way.
Oh, yes.
So, Ms. Almeida.
Madam Chair, members, thank you. My testimony is going to be specific to what you're talking about right now, Section 2, Subdivision 3. I'm not sure I can put it any better than I think Senator Bessel did a little bit ago. It is our belief that Subdivision 3 does pertain to Section 1 in terms of what's above, and I think when you look at a statute, you have to look at it in its entirety. You can't look at a section and say, this is what it is. I think you've got to read what's before and what's after and think about how they all modify each other. You can't piece them apart. Section 1 provides for the, Section 2 provides for the coordination with other laws, and as you've already been told multiple times, none of the main statutes that pertain to the use of Social Security numbers speak directly to Social Security numbers, but instead are prohibitive with exceptions or permissions that allow them. But even those don't say, yes, in this instance, go ahead and use the SSN. It's more broad than that. It's a more broad permission than that. And so to say in Subdivision 3 to use the word required when you're thinking about the 3 main federal statutes that deal with this doesn't really accurately capture what they do because they don't require it. And so it's having required in there actually makes it a little bit in conflict with some of the other laws that specifically pertain to this. Getting to Representative Simon's point about the use of specifically authorized or allowed and how you might change that, you could say authorized or specifically allowed. I don't know if that gets at more to his particular point about making it more narrow and clear to the issue of these are the exceptions that make it okay to do this function and to use the SSN. That's just a suggestion that you might consider if that seems troubling or if you're unclear about which words are being modified by specifically.
Madam Chair, could I just say one
thing? Mr. Abbott.
And I think it would be worthy to defer to Senate Council to grapple this very specifically to deal with the issue that Representative Simon is referring to. It is allowed by state or federal law that includes restrictions on the use or release of information on individuals. It's very specific to federal or state laws that include restrictions on the use and release of information about individuals. Those are the ones that Senator Scheid is speaking about. Graham Leach-Bliley, Fair Credit Reporting Act, that has certain uses but no other. There are permissible uses but no other. The Driver's Privacy Protection Act. I think that's what this is attempting to refer to, and that's the modifier on the term allowed, or authorized or allowed. That term modifies
Those two words, authorized or allowed.
Questions from members?
All right,
do you have anything further? All right, anyone else who wishes to testify, please come to the table.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Conference Committee. My name is Judy Cook with Cook Hill Dwyer Associates, and I'm going to attempt to speak on behalf of FIP, which is the Fair Information Practices Coalition, which is the very large group of all the members of the business community who many of you have had a chance to visit with over these past two sessions as we've worked specifically on this, who have significant concerns about this and are very eager for a resolution. And I would like to personally thank all of you who I know I have spent and others spent a lot of time visiting with about this. And again, I guess one of the things I'd like to remind us is that, I mean, this is really, this year, this bill is intended to be a clarification of what has been on the books, and I think we are all eager to see it go into effect. And I want to remind all of you that I think the business community has been working toward meeting with the requirements in the statute, even though it hasn't gone into effect, because it does take time to do so. So while we talk about the clarification, so there's a couple things other than that Subdivision 7. What really, for many folks, brings us to the table and is so critical right now is this issue of Sell and the interpretation of the consumer reporting industry regarding Sell and the need to clarify that, because, as we all know, their interpretation was that they could not give us credit reports with full Social Security numbers, which would be very, very problematic for a lot of industry in terms of being able to identify individuals in the course of business. And we all know how important that is. So we would, as FIFIC, encourage you to seriously consider and adopt the recommendations of the consumer reporting folks, because their interpretation is very critical to the information that we will receive, and we very much want to receive credit reports and other things with the information that we need in order to make sure we positively identify an individual in commerce. And furthermore, I would say that in terms of Section 2, FIFIC would like to see that in statute. I know that was one of the questions, is do we even need that there at all, that Subdivision 3, and I think we believe that we do. And again, I mean, I will just give you another example, and we mentioned this with Senator Tri earlier. For example, the U.S. Patriot Act requires financial institutions to positively identify the person that they're opening an account for. It doesn't say use a Social Security number, but the reality is we do need a full Social Security number, and that is the best way that we have right now in order to make sure that we meet the requirements of that statute, even though it doesn't specifically say use a Social Security number. So I would just offer that as another example. And so we would encourage you to address the concerns brought to you by the consumer reporting industry.
Questions from members? All right, seeing none, is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify on this issue?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
All right. No one else? Further questions from members? All right. Senator Betzel.
Madam Chair, you know, I agree that I believe it's sort of reasonably necessary is significant now. I recognize you just took your course class, but you'll get over it. It happened. But the opposite, I think, frankly, is that, you know, if there's no reasonably value there, I think that it's an absolute. And I think that you have to have a little bit of flexibility in here, and reasonably necessary, I think, accomplishes that. On the part of authorized or allowed, I think having specifically authorized or allowed is probably the proper way to go, because something could be specific, a purpose could be specific, actually identified. But we just heard the example of the Patriot Act, where
something is required to get information, although we're not, it doesn't specifically say that you need the Social Security number, but as a practical matter, you're going to have to rely upon that very information in order to comply with a different law. So I think that the way we have the Senate E-11 amendment, I think accomplishes the goal that at least the initiative that we first.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Senator Bethel's point, I mean, I think we're close here. I would say a couple of things. First, I could speak for myself, not a House position, but my own position, would be that we need some modifier to make absolutely certain that specifically, or a word of that sort, applies to both the words authorized and the words allowed, whether that means saying specifically authorized or specifically allowed, or as Senator Pariseau said. Right, yeah.
Or allowed.
It could be specifically authorized or specifically allowed, or we could just say as specified by a state or federal law, whichever it is. I think the specificity requirement has to apply to everything in paragraph 2. And the other thing I would say, and I hate to open up another avenue of discussion here, but in subdivision 3, part 1, I actually think having required in there, it seems to make more sense, reverting to the old form, because we're dealing with the word authorized now in two places. We're saying in the first place, as authorized, and then three lines down, we're saying specifically authorized. And that might open up some other questions. So I'm not sure why, if for the sake of argument here, if we were to work off of this template, why we wouldn't go back on line 2.19 to required, and then on line 2.22 add the word specifically in front of the word allowed. That would make the most sense to me.
Representative Holberg.
Well, and I'm at first glance, I agree with what you said, but as I listened to the testimony about the issue with the Patriot Act does not specifically allow the use of the Social Security number for identifying purposes. And so I'm concerned that maybe I want this to be tight, but we got to make sure that we don't have an interpretation that gets so tight that they can't move, because the other bodies that put together laws and regulations, sometimes you get to the point where you can't get so specific that you individually lay out every single component, and you recognize that, and so you are a little more broad in authorization, but you don't specifically authorize, because you know you can't possibly cover every single circumstance that would be brought forward.
Senator Stein.
Madam Chair, I'd suggest, Representative Holberg, I think that what's authorized is the purpose. So Homeland Security, the Social Security number isn't authorized, but the purpose of Homeland Security is authorized, and to identify people, it's necessary to make sure you have the right person. It's necessary to have the Social Security number, which, by the way, I think is taken care of in Subdivision 1, but I'll stop saying that.
Senator Stein, you don't need to. You're saying it.
I think that it's the purpose there that is being modified, but specifically authorized or specifically allowed. So I don't think it's the fact that they've been told they can or can't use Social Security numbers. You know, so I think it muddies the water of Subdivision 1, but that's okay, because I guess we need to deal with it. But because there is important language here, and I think Ms. Connie has drafted this language, am I correct?
Ms. Connie.
On 2.21 to 2, yeah. Because it also says that the state or federal law includes restrictions on. And so I'm assuming that means things like Grand Leash, Fly Leash, et cetera, and FCRA. So that's important, you know,
language to that paragraph as well. So,
Ms. Pontius, has been, do you think that this would also cover the Patriot Act? Because that doesn't restrict Social Security numbers.
Madam Chair, members, I think for the financial institutions, they'd still be covered under Rambis Riley. So even though the Patriot Act support functions, they have restrictions on what they can do with that.
Well, Senator Betzold, I'd like to chat with the conferees, so if we could take a 15-minute break and come back. All right, this meeting's in recess. In discussions, I think that we have a proposal that we'd like to put out and have the audience testify and see if they have any concerns. So, Mr. Pender, do you want to go through the proposed changes to the A11 amendment?
Madam Chair and members, the proposed changes are on line 1.35 to delete the word reasonably, and then on line 2.19 to reinstate the word required and delete the word authorized. And then on line 2.22 to delete the phrase authorized or.
Questions from members? All right. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on behalf of these proposed changes? Please come to the table, state your name for the record.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is John Appitz. I'm here on behalf of the Consumer Data Information Association. Well, I think you heard my argument earlier about reasonably in terms of the latitude, and I know your sentiments about that, Madam Chair. Provides a latitude that I think is necessary within the business of providing information. The other thing with regard to restoring required and on 2.19 and scratching authorized, the federal laws we're dealing with talk about authorized uses and permitted uses. Authorized uses and permitted uses. That's why we were encouraging you to use terms that if we're coordinating with other law, federal law, we use the terms that they use, authorized or permitted. The issue is you just don't use the term required within federal statutes. So, but we just encourage you to read, you know, leave authorized there, take the authorized or out the second paragraph like you did, so we think that that would then follow consistently. But the term required isn't a term that makes a lot of sense. Maybe it's required or authorized. That might make some sense.
Senator Stein.
And Chair, I'd say I like leaving required in because I think that in the very first instance when this law was drafted, it meant that you were exempt from the requirements of this section 325E.59 if you were required by the state law specifically to collect, use, or release a Social Security number. But paragraph 2 then speaks to, I think, the concern of people who have to live with Graham Leach Bliley and HIPAA or FCRA, and that's where they do have restrictions on the use and release of information on individuals. I think that pretty much clarifies what it is we're talking about there. And both are specifically allowed. I mean, they're permitted. They're authorized and permitted is the language, but I think they mean the same thing. I mean, I prefer permitted, specifically permitted, but I wouldn't get hung up on using allowed, and so I think it means the same
thing. Traffic.
And that is much appreciated, the language provides the allowance in the paragraph 2, 2.21 to 2.24. That's very important to these folks, and that matches up with the federal law. Again, to the point, required is not a term that we use in federal law. If required is a term that you wish to continue with, adding the term required or authorized, I think, encompasses the federal
statute, the federal statutory law, and the required also then, Madam Chair, Senator Scheid, deals with what I believe you think the state law is talking to. So the two terms might make sense together.
And Senator Scheid.
And Madam Chair, going back to law school, which is okay, I think, to reference, these are disjunctive. So there, it's one, two, or three.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all required. So you can, I think, that CDIA entities would be able to function with paragraph 2. I think they can function with paragraph 7, but, you know, section 1. But I think that paragraph 2 here does the job for making sure that they can continue to do their business. I mean, that's certainly the intent I think we have, that we wouldn't want to interfere with that.
Mr. Abbott.
Madam Chair, just finally, I agree with you, Senator Scheid. Paragraph 2 is a paragraph that's workable. I was just referencing, if you will, paragraph 1,
mm-hmm.
the term requires, and then the term authorized, which is a federal term, which I'm suggesting you throw in to make it consistent with the federal statute.
And Madam Chair, that makes some sense.
Bethel.
That makes some sense to me. You know, I mean, if the federal law uses the term authorized, and we're trying to make it consistent, I don't know why we would not at least, you know, tie into there, because, you know, that's all the 1.19 and 3.1 deals with. The statute does not prevent the collection, use, or release of social security number required or authorized by a state federal law, particularly federal law, already authorizes it, you know, it authorizes it. There's not much more we can do about it.
Senator Betzold, I would actually argue that in the event that these two sentences had to go together, you wouldn't have to have the collection, use, or release of Social Security numbers in both sentences.
You mean number 1 and number 2?
Correct.
Yeah,
sentence
well,
1 and sentence number 2 both use the words, the collection, use, release, or Social Security number, and in the event that they had to be read together, mm-hmm. as Mr. Appitz is stating, they wouldn't both need to say that same set of words.
Except that the second sentence does provide some additional requirements that would have to include restrictions of the information, whereas the first sentence does not do that.
Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, I think that's because they were anticipating the cases where federal law required a Social Security number. I don't think it had to do with the regulatory frameworks or those laws. I think it had to do with where it's required by state or federal law, you can do it. And so, I mean, I don't know if we're, you know, I just think the federal law does require it in some places and you should speak to it.
Mr. Appitz, if I just might ask, what is it that you believe that you're doing right now that by having the word required in there, you will not be able to do?
Madam Chair, I can't answer your question because I think that required is fine. The authorized, the addition of the word authorized is what I'm suggesting to you. That's a federal term. I'm not able to answer your question specifically. What I'm saying is, in general, the term authorized is a term that's used in those federal laws that we're speaking to. So just adding that in and returning the stricken language required seems to make a lot of sense.
So, Mr. Appitz, then going back to number 2, we could actually take care of it by line 2.22 rather than striking authorized or making it specifically authorized or specifically allowed. That is reinstating your authorized.
Madam Chair, that's correct. As well.
And Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, I'd support that. I like required in number 1, but there are other situations where it is just authorized, and they are different. Authorized means they're allowed to do it. Required means they must. So I think in number 2 that makes sense to say specifically authorized or specifically allowed.
All right. Senator, oh.
Is that your proposal?
Yes, that would be the House offer to do the changes as Mr. Pender indicated, and then adding on line 2.22, so it would read specifically authorized or specifically allowed. Keeping the required up above and deleting authorized.
Is that
No, I just got it.
Questions from members? Does anyone in the audience want to testify for or against this proposal? Seeing none.
Madam Chair and Senator Bessel, I like this compromise. I think that we've done our wordsmithing. I feel comfortable with it.
I'm comfortable.
Senator Bessel?
Okay, Madam Chair, on the Senate A-11 amendment then, I'll move that on page 1, line 35, strike the word reasonably. On page 2, line 19, reinstate the word, strictly required, reinstate that and delete the word, the new language, authorized. On page 2, line 22, after the first or, but specifically.
All right.
With amendment, just only amend the Senate language right now. I mean, that's the first thing we have to say.
That's correct.
So, I'll move to amend the Senate language, the A-11 amendment, to do that.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
And then, Madam Chair, I will move the Senate language as amended by the amendment of the 11th amendment to be adopted as the conference committee report.
Questions from members? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.